They begin to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We look down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming.
Welcome back to the Jump Force Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour. On this Thursday morning, we do appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. You want to react to anything we're discussing this morning? Obviously, a lot going on here in state, but probably leading the news right now. This situation in Kabul, the multiple bombings, and apparently three servicemen injured there. What's next? We're waiting. Supposedly going to get a statement from the Pentagon here shortly. Keeping an eye out for that. Anyway, joining us now, State Senator David Sessions. Always good to get him on. We're appreciative of his time. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Glad to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. I know you guys have been busy behind the scenes there. Sort of the off season, I guess, if you will, but. You've been in and about Montgomery a lot, I guess more maybe this off season than prior off seasons.
Yeah, a lot going on. I was up for some meetings not too long ago, and I know there's a big group working on the prison issue, and they've been meeting quite a bit, and I think the commission on the medical cannabis, they have been doing some meeting, and so it's been pretty active off season, to say the least.
Yeah, and you got at least one special session for reapportionment, but it sounds more and more likely you're going to get a prison special session before January rolls around.
Yeah, it appears we will, and I know there are some CARES Act funds that the state probably needs to address some issues there with that money. And then the prison, it looks like late September, possibly for that, and then third to last week of October for reapportionment.
Yeah, so and a lot of those could probably be combined, particularly the CARES Act money and the reapportionment. I don't know. There's some controversy out there with the prisons, but it seems like if you could just get something done, a lot of people just want that resolved.
They do. You know, you've got the federal orders hanging over your head, and the threat of them coming in and taking over our system. And you know, if that were to happen, it'd be probably a lot more expensive than what we can do to remedy the issues that we have. Like I said, I heard from the working group that's working on this. They're getting very, very close to an agreement with all parties that are working on it. From pardons and paroles to prison system and the governor's office. And the legislature, it's been a combined effort. It's not been a one person idea. So I think we'll come up with something good that could work for the state and hopefully not cost us too much money.
Well, and I don't know. Do you typically hear from your constituents about this? Because I can't imagine it's the first thing you're hit with when you're talking to people in your district about how you got to fix that prison problem. But there's always been this notion, and maybe it was true at one time that that was a third rail that you steered clear of prison discussion. But it doesn't seem like that's really the case anymore.
Well, like I said, Jeff, it's that, you know, the federal mandate, you know, basically coming in and telling us we have to do something and address the, you know, mental issues, the health issues and those things with the prisons. And our prisons are old. So I think, you know, it's time to address this issue. I believe there's going to be a good plan on the table. I haven't seen it yet, but when I see it and take a look at it, I'll know more about it and be able to, you know, give more specifics. But everything I've heard so far, that detail-wise, has made a lot of sense to me.
Do you feel like the gambling discussion, that one's kind of back to the back burner once again, as it is oftentimes, but you couldn't get quite to the finish line this last session? We know about that fourth year of a quadrennium, but haven't heard quite as much buzz about that or lottery or anything of that nature.
No, I haven't. It hasn't really been on anyone's radar, I don't think. It's with this COVID going on, a lot of things are taking a back burner right now, Jeff. We've got a health care crisis on our hands here on the Gulf Coast and perhaps all over the state. I haven't really been keeping up with their numbers, but our numbers certainly aren't encouraging. They are going down some, so that's a good thing. But with school in and this particular variant being a lot more contagious, it's going to be, I think it'll be the end of September before we see a good decline in what's happening right now.
Yeah, and the COVID situation, it does look like it's spiked. But are you concerned about what might be next? I don't think we're going to go back to a 2020 situation personally. You may or may not, but that at some point, if we don't see things turn the other way, there could be more and more pressure too.
I think we've handled it about the best you can for not knowing what you're dealing with. It's that thing's like a moving target, and social media gets out there and puts out so much misinformation, and it's really been difficult for the healthcare professionals to get their message across. I believe perhaps we handled it wrong early on by the government taking too much of a lead on this thing. I believe had our healthcare professionals and really done a public relations movement and kept politics out of it, we would have all been better off right now. Unfortunately, as well as I do, Jeff, politics gets in everything, whether it's your T-ball team at the ballpark or your deacons meeting at church. It's a little bit of politics in everything.
Yeah, and you look at that, and you look at the vaccination rates, and I mean they're still on the low side, but they're on the increase. I guess
they are getting better.
Yeah,
they're getting better.
Is there anything state government or any level of government, I guess beyond the federal government, should be doing to try to improve those numbers?
They're working as hard as they can. They're putting out a lot of vaccinations to a lot of different communities, trying to set up areas that are underserved. They're making sure that if someone wants to get a vaccination, they're able to get it somewhere. Whether it be the local CVS or Walgreens or your family pharmacy or if it's a health clinic, they seem to be getting them out. Nothing's ever perfect, but I think they're working as hard as they can. I do know that. And they're really fatigued. They've been at it a long, long time. In July, or the end of June, our positive rate on infections was about 3% of those tested. I think it spiked up into about the 30%, right around 30% range. It's still in the 20% range. And that's those that are getting tested. There are a lot of people that have contracted the virus that knew they had what they had. They haven't been tested, so they're not in those numbers. It was really, really dicey out here for several weeks.
And you know, hospital space, we hear a lot about the ICU beds being, you know, you have to convert some other spaces in hospitals for more ICU space. I would assume, though, that there are resources that it could be dedicated to making sure that we don't have, you know, overrun hospitals with COVID patients out laying in the hallways or anything like that, that we're not quite to a point of that nature.
Well, thank goodness. I think we're, like you said, I think we're past the peak. We're still over 400 in the hospitals in Mobile. I think we were up around 480 at the height. So, you know, that's a little bit of pressure off. And hopefully it continues to go that way. I tell you, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of deaths. And that's just... it's just tragic when we're losing young people in their 20s and 30s that otherwise were healthy. And, you know, this is evil. This is an evil virus. And I hope someday we get to the very bottom of it to find out why it got so bad. And you know, we know it originated in China. And if they were negligent in the way they handled it, they should be held accountable.
Joined by State Senator David Sessions here on the program. Something else has been in the news, at least as far as the state goes. I saw your name on a Will Barfoot bill. Critical race theory are doing something along those lines to prevent that from being taught in public schools. What are your thoughts on that? Is it as serious of an issue as maybe it's made out to be?
Well, you know, it's always a serious issue if you're going to teach one gender or one race or one group of people or either below or above anyone else. Jeff, I was raised on a farm. My dad was a Marine in World War II. He had served in the Pacific. He was at Pearl Harbor. He always taught me that everyone was equal, that everyone should be treated the same. And that's what people should be teaching in school, not that one race is better than the other or one race has taken advantage of the other or one gender has taken advantage of the other gender. You know, and I think that's what Senator Barfoot's bill is aimed at. It never really mentions critical race theory. So, you know, that kind of speaks as the type of legislation we're doing, that we don't want any type of those things taught using state dollars, whether it be in a public university or a K-12 school.
Finally, Senator, we'll get you out of here on this. We had the Ag Commissioner, we had Rick Pate on earlier, but you're in that same space, business owner. What are you seeing there? Are you facing the same headwinds that a lot of farmers are facing, a lot of, you know, particularly with labor, the prices, you know, commodities, the value of the dollar, inflation, things like that can be hurdles. What are you hearing out there in your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, commodity prices are up, but so are inputs. So it's always a challenge. You know, it seems like when it looks like you're going to get a little ahead, something comes along and kind of takes that wind out from under your sail. But you know, Jeff, it's been like that forever. And I tell people, you know, legislation and farming is they're a little bit similar, because you know, hopefully, you know, if you don't get something done this year, there's always next year. You know, if we have a bad year, we hope to recover and do something and make money the next year. But it can be very, very trying on some of these operations that aren't real diversified or very small. It can be really, really challenging when, you know, things get tight. And when I mean tight, you know, supplies are tight. Fertilizers up, fuels up, transportation, shipping, freight is just, gosh, probably doubled in the last 6 months. If you can find a truck to haul, you're having to bid against two or three other companies that want them to haul something else. So it's somewhat of a challenge.
And I guess always that it's that time of year that we are always kind of watching the tropics, right? And particularly in this part of the state, you got to have that on your mind.
Yeah, we're praying for no hurricanes. That's for certain. We had two or three that were just too close last year. I actually had one hurricane force. Well, two actually in Lubbock County, and it was really tough on us. But you know, you try and do the best you can, manage all the tools that you have at your availability, and like I said, hope you survive to do it again next year.
Hey, Senator, we got to get out of here. We're up against a break, but thank you for making time for us.
Always a pleasure, Jeff.
We'll talk again soon. That's State Senator David Sessions, represents you guys in the south part of our listening area. Take a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, because the South's going to do it again and again.